Good morning. How is everyone this morning? Those that are in the foyer, as you're making your way in, this is the day that the Lord hath made. And I have decided I am going to rejoice and be glad in it. And I know that Sonny and Lauren are going to rejoice and be glad in it because it is a baby dedication day for them. God's a good God. Every day, isn't he? So I'm going to ask if you would, let's stand. And we are going to worship this morning. We're going to start our day giving God glory and praise. Lord, we thank you that we can come to your house. Lord, we can worship. We can give of our voices, our time. Lord, we thank you that you give so much more back to us. We receive that today in Jesus' name.
talking about being brave this week and listening to that song, it kept taking me back to Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Michael and I were talking about how he was saying, you know, they presumed to be very young at that time, and their faith was just so strong. And I just can't imagine the moment that they see that fire and the fear that most of us would have, but they were brave and they trusted and they had faith. And they said, He will rescue us from your power. But even if He doesn't, we want to make it clear to you that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. They trusted. They trusted in Him. They had so much faith with that fear right in front of them. I would have been scared out of my mind to know that I had to go into that fire. But they knew that He was going to be there. And just like with everything we go through, He's going to be there. He's going to be our strength. He is going to do amazing things. Amen.
I feel like I need to share this with you because it's been tugging on my heart because it had such an impact on me this week. My favorite other preacher other than Buren, Stephen Furtick. I follow him on Instagram, and if you don't, you should. But he was speaking to the congregation, and he said, everything that you do, not everything that you do, but the small things are significant. And a lot of times we don't believe that the small things that we do are significant, and we let the enemy drive us down this trail that we're just, that things are just awful. I'm trying to put it in words, and I wish I could just preach it to you like he did because it was awesome. But whatever road you're on, whatever's going on, you know, don't think that anything that you do is insignificant. Whether you're, you know, whether it's just going to work, you think you've done something bad, whether you've, you know, your kids, you're trying to parent them, and you know, you do something, maybe you said, I wasn't the right parenting thing to do. Don't think and believe that lie that you're a bad parent or you're a bad employee or you're a bad anything, because everything that you do reflects the glory of God, and it is significant. Yes. When you change your baby's diaper, it's significant. Yes. When you pay the bill that was due, it's significant. Yes. You worked hard for that money. It is significant. So my message to you today is, don't go down that trail and don't believe what the enemy tells you that it's not significant, because it is. It is. And we serve a great, great God who loves us and is with us all the time. So as you go through the next week and months and years, you know, don't believe the lies. Just know that what you bring to the table around others, you're different than everybody else, but what you bring is significant. Believe it and know that our God that we serve loves us, cares for us, and has our back, and he believes everything we do is significant. Amen. You give life. You are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord, you give life. Our love, bring light to the
the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, you only. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore.
Today for how great you are, God, and how great that you make us, God. We thank you for your love and your care and your protection and just your presence all the time, Father. In Jesus' name.
Okay. Hello. love to do this. I love to do this. I heard a guy say one time, he got mad at his parents when he got grown. He said, I wish they'd never given me to God. Because he thought he didn't have a choice, but and you really don't once you do that. You don't have a choice. He says, I'll never escape from your presence. I can never get away from you. If I go into heaven, you're there. If I go into the grave, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. That's good stuff, isn't it? You just can't get away from God. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same. You made all my delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Whew. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Wow. So Ezra Harrison. Ezra means helper. Going to be a helper. Harrison means ruler of the home. Just want to give you a little wisdom on that one. If you just don't bother to mention that, you're going to have a peaceful life. If you talk about that too much, well, anyway, things not going to go well. But they're going to go well with you because we dedicate you today to the Lord. We lift you up to Him and say that you have forever belonged to Him. You came from Him. You'll live for Him. And one day you'll go back to Him. And we thank you for that and commit you to Him in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. And now he's going to give him right back to you and say, raise him in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and all will be well. Bless you. All right. Bless you. Okay. Good to see everybody. I know you've heard a lot of good preaching over the last 4 weeks. So I came back today for job security. And for real, I had a minister, older when I was young, an older minister told me this. He said, Buren, you know you're doing a good job when you start discipling yourself out of a job. I always thought that's pretty good. Well, Ralph, I'm going to give you some kudos. About 2 months ago, I walked out, and you walked up to me, and you said, have you got one more fight in you? And I wanted to say, shut up. I wanted to say, no. But while I was on the beach one day, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, yeah, you got another fight in you. And so we're going to do a series on the kingdom of God. I love to preach the kingdom. Somebody told me one time he was born to preach the kingdom. And I love the kingdom of God. Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses. You see, that's what the kingdom does. The kingdom comes in power. The kingdom is powerful. The kingdom has principles and the kingdom has purpose. And when you preach the kingdom, you can't help but preach power. Because that's what Jesus preached. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. Now, gospel simply means good news. It's not bad news of the kingdom. It's good news of the kingdom. Jesus preached. I want to preach what Jesus preached, don't you? I want to live what Jesus. I want to have the power of the kingdom in my life. See, the kingdom's not the church, and the church is not the kingdom. Kingdom's bigger than the church. Kingdom is out there. The church is a local expression of the body of Christ in a local area. That's all it is. I mean, that's not all it is. That's good, but that's what it is. But the kingdom's much bigger than that. And the kingdom cannot be defined. It can only be described. Jesus did not try to define the kingdom. As a matter of fact, he said the kingdom is like. He said the kingdom is like a man who found a treasure in a field, and because it was so valuable, he said he went and sold everything he had, he bought that field. He said the kingdom of God is like a man searching for fine pearls, and he finds a pearl of great price, and he sells everything he's got, and he buys that pearl because it's valuable. The kingdom is what you should seek first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be given to you. He said, if you seek first the kingdom, you won't have to worry about anything on this earth. Barbara and I decided 40-some-odd years ago to build our life, build our marriage. That one scripture we'd bank everything on. And we've done that. We've built our whole life on seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything else. You won't have to worry about anything. It'll all be given to you. Isn't that good stuff? Just seek one thing. It's one thing's all you got to do. Seek one thing. Seek the kingdom of God. Because that's the kingdom of light. That's the kingdom that brings about joy and peace and good things. And one thing I love about this kingdom is that in Isaiah, when Isaiah prophesied about it, he said that unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. And the passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Wow. I used to think I had to make it happen. I don't have to make it happen. He's going to make it happen. I just got to join in the plan. I just got to be there. I just got to show up. And he's going to make it happen because that's what he does. That's what he does. He is going to make sure that his kingdom is eternal. It's everlasting. It's not going to come to a point and take a break. All right. It's not going to come to a point and take a break for 7 years. It's not going to come to a point and go, well, let me get these people out of here and let this happen here, and then we'll come back and settle this thing. Nope. He said it would never end. He said there's never going to be a parenthesis. There's never going to be a time, a moment where he's not working because this thing is powerful. Say powerful. I'm born again to see the kingdom. I decide to enter it, and I prevail to inherit it. Because the Bible says, if you're born of the word, water and spirit, you'll see it. In other words, you've been born once by the water. Your mother's water broke and you were born. But then Jesus said, but you got to be born again. And Nicodemus said, how can I be born again? I can't go back into my mother's womb. He says, no, Nicodemus, you were born that way one time. You got to be born the second time, and it's of the spirit. You got to see things not from the natural, but from the spiritual. And if you're born in the spirit, you'll see it. He said, and then you can enter it. And then Paul said in Galatians, you can inherit it. The kingdom of God can be inherited. And he that does these things, he said, will inherit the kingdom of God. Is that not powerful? I've seen it. How many have seen the kingdom? How many have seen a promise but never gotten it? How many have read something but never experienced it? He says, I don't want you just to see it from afar. I want you to inherit it. I want you not just go up to the mountain and see the promised land. I want you to enter the promised land. I want you to experience the goodness of it. I want you to taste and see that the Lord is good. I want you to taste and see that the Lord is good. So I want to share some things. First of all, I want to share about one of the things about the kingdom. I love about the kingdom, it's always new. It's always new. Aren't you glad God is in the renewing business? How many like new things? Come on, be honest. Everybody likes new stuff, don't you? I'm thinking about cleaning my whole closet out, buying everything new. I didn't check that with my boss yet, but that's what I'm thinking about doing, just getting rid of all the old and getting everything new. I love new stuff. I love new stuff. You do too. Everybody likes new things. God says he's making all things new. Is that good? You see, if you'd have asked me 25 years ago, Buren, define the kingdom, I could have done it. I thought I could. If you'd have asked me 25 years ago what the book of Revelation is about, I could tell you everything about the book of Revelation. I could have did that 25. I found out something. The older I get, the less I know. Right. And the less I know, the more I know. Right. Because when I think I know it all is when I define something, I put a period by it. And I said, this is what it is. Yeah. You see, the Israelites, when they crossed the Red Sea and all these things, and Moses goes up on the mountain to get the commandments from the Lord, he's gone a while and they get weary, and so they decide that he's not coming back to tell them who God is. It said a mouthful right there. They thought he's going up to the mountain, he's going to get these commandments, these ordinances, and he's going to come down and define who God is to us. So he's gone too long, and they can't wait, so they decide they're going to define God. You see, idolatry is not serving another God always. Idolatry is making God into something he's not, or defining him and putting him in a box. That's idolatry. See, when they built the golden calf, which was an ox, they weren't going after another God. They were defining their God as a strong ox who had prevailed and brought them out of Egypt. But God says, you can't define me and put me in a box. I'm more than that. You see, when you read 1 Corinthians 13, that's not a definition of love. It's an description of love. He's described, love is long-suffering. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. That's not a definition. That's a description. He's describing what it is. The kingdom is described. God is described. How can you define infinity? You can't define that. It's ongoing. And what God's kingdom is about is constantly being revealed and unfolded. And so in Mark chapter 4, But on your bulletin, if you got your bulletin, I got two passages of scripture we're going to build on. The first one is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's, if it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory. I like that. Because I'm going to say some things over the next year going to seem crazy. How many know that truth, when you first get it, doesn't sound like truth? Because if it's something different than what you believe, you actually believe it's a lie. Truth, when it first comes, sometimes you got to chew on it. Yeah, think about that a little bit. I'm so glad I don't believe everything I believed 20 years ago. I am so glad I don't. I am so glad that I haven't put God in a box. I'm so glad I haven't put myself in a box. I'm so glad that the best is yet to come. And I believe it with every fiber of my being. Every fiber of my being, the best is yet to come. So if it seems we're crazy, it's to bring glory to God. If we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we all have died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Old life is gone, and a new life has begun. Or a better translation of that is, The old is passing away and all things are becoming new. What I love about the kingdom, that it's always becoming new. Jesus would tell a natural story to give you a spiritual understanding. And in Mark chapter 4, he tells them a natural story. He says, the kingdom of God is like a man who sows seed on the ground. And some fell by the wayside, some fell on stony ground, some fell on thorny ground, and some fell on good soil. And it said, if you don't understand this parable, you can't understand anything about the kingdom. If you don't understand this, you can understand anything. And he said, there's the seed, there's the sower, there's the soil. And you know what? I just saw this, Calvin, the other day. He sowed the seed on all four. He still threw the seed on the wayside. Because you know what? He was told to sow it. Don't worry about the soil, you sow. And what God spoke to me on the beach was, you stop worrying about the soil, because you ain't got nothing to do about the soil. I can't change your soil. Only you can change your soil. But I got to throw it. Now, if you're a wayside, I can't help that, but I'm going to still throw it. Because he didn't tell me not to. He said, you sow the seed. No matter what you think about the soil, you get it out there, because that's what the kingdom's about. The kingdom's about getting it out there. You should know. You see, when Ralph said you got one more fight, he said, I started this fight about 25 years ago. And people left. So I had two families one time in the foyer meet me after a service, and they said, we're gone. Said, I can't handle your illustration. And this was my illustration, Kevin. I simply said, if you put a dog on a short chain, you're probably going to make him mad and mean. But the longer the chain you're giving, the nicer he is. They said, you just give people too much freedom. Whew. Wow, I thought that's what I was supposed to do. The truth will set you in bondage. The truth will make you mad. Is it? So that did them. The truth will set you free. It'll set you free. Oh, man, how many are glad God's not angry? God's not mad. God's not upset. He's not disappointed. He's not nervous. He's not wondering what's going to happen. He said, because the seed is being sown. Now, here's the deal. After he says that, in Mark 4:21, Jesus asked them, would anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket or under a bed? And God just nailed it, man, to me. He says, the truth is to be sown. No matter what. See, truth sometimes cost. You know, the Bible says, buy it. And you know, it says, the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the honor of kings to seek it out. He don't just, he doesn't just throw it out there. You gotta seek it. It's what he says. Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where it lights will shine. Everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Now, I've heard that preached that all of your sins are going to be exposed, and I hope not. Now, a lot of people would like to get in on this. A lot of people would like to say that. A lot of people would like to go, yeah. No, what he's saying, everything about the kingdom is going to be revealed. It's going to be brought to light. That's what he's talking about. He's not changing gears here. And now he's talking about the gospel of the kingdom, and now he's going to talk about sin. No. He's still talking kingdom stuff. He's still talking about the seed and the sower and the soil. He says, so everything about it is going to be brought to light. It's going to be revealed. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. If you've got ears, do you? Just touch one of them. Yeah, I got one. Listen. Pay attention. It's like the post we see every now and then about Linda. Linda, listen. It's what I'm hearing Jesus say to you today. Listen to me. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding will be given, and you'll receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. You see, he's saying in the Greek, he that keeps on listening, he that stops saying, I know. I'm still batting about 800 with that. I like that average. I want to get to batting 1,000, but by eliminating those two words from my vocabulary. I know. So when you're talking to me, I want to listen to you and not say, I know. Because once I say, I know, I know. Well, you know it. And he said, what he's saying is, if you the ones that say, I know that, even what you know, you're going to lose. What you know, you're going to lose. But he keeps listening, keeps an open heart. Paul would say to the church, I'm coming. Enlarge your heart, though, because I'm coming with some stuff you ain't heard. So enlarge your heart. Get ready to listen. He says, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground night and day while he sleeps. Is asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, what may look like an insignificant thing is not. It's just a seed. You ever just thought about something, a seed that you could place on the tip of your finger? Is a tree. But it starts as just a seed. Despise not beginnings of small things. First a leaf blade pushes through. Heads of wheat are formed. And finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle. For the harvest time has come. The harvest time has come. God help me. The truth is to be sown. The seed is to be scattered. Don't worry, Buren, about the soil. Just throw it out there. Just throw it out there and let it take root. Let it take root. Because there will be those who will receive it, and there will be those who will reject it. But those who receive it, it will bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Wow. Is that awesome? See, I used to think truth would just fill up a church. Sometimes truth does the opposite. Right. Now, I'm not prophesying that. That's not going to happen. I'm just, Jesus one time, he had a bunch of people following him, kid. A lot of people. While he was feeding them, Ken, I'm with you, Lord. I love the fishes and I love the bread. I love your healing. I like that part. I love it when you talk about the prosperity. I really like that. And Jesus one day said, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Whoops. Whoops. Oh, shouldn't have said that. Because he's walking, and all these throngs of people are behind him. And when he said that, he turned around, and they were leaving. They were getting off the bus, Billy. It was one time I thought my church was like a bus. Every time I stopped, some people got off. I thought, I'm going to have to stop in this bus. But so Jesus looks around, and all these people are leaving, and he says, "Will you also go?" Talking to his disciples, and Peter says, "Lord, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Now, let me tell you some things about the kingdom that I love. First of all, the kingdom is not words. This is good stuff. It's a word. Jesus didn't say, "Man shall live." He said this, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every," not words, but word, "that proceeds from the mouth of God." Why is that important? One word from God can change your life. One word. One small thing can change your life. You ever been talking with somebody? I know you have. And all of a sudden, a word just explodes in you. It was just a word. Oh, I got a word exploding in me I want to just go crazy with. And it's the word new. God spoke it to me on the beach. New. Next year is about new. New things. New understanding. New everything. New. I don't know where I'm headed. I'm getting off track a little bit. But it's not words of the kingdom, it's the word of the kingdom. You see, Jesus can make a word just burn, explode in you, and that one word do more in your life than you can possibly imagine. See, you got to keep on listening, because if you think you know everything, you won't learn anything. Peter one day, boy, he hit one out of the ballpark. He's up to bat, and Jesus throws him a curveball and says, "Who do men say that I am?" Some people say I'm Jeremiah. Some say you're John the Baptist. "But who do you say I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And bam, over the center field fence, knocked it out of the ballpark. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter, but my Father in heaven did. And upon this statement that you just made, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. See, some people get saved because they don't want to go to hell. And Jesus said, "We're going to hell. We're going there, but we're going there to prevail. The gates of hell's not going to prevail. We're going to overcome it." All right, well, that's for next year. Well, here's Peter. Boy, Peter, you're something. You're a rock. And I'm going to build this church. I'm going to build this. Man, I'm going to build this. I'm going to give you the keys to it. Thank you, Lord. And whatever you bind will be bound, and whatever you loose will be loosened. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that, Lord. So here's Peter. Got the keys. Just hit one out of the ballpark. Okay? The next moment, Jesus said, "The Son of Man has to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die." Peter says, "Not so. Come in. Let me explain it to you about Jesus." "No, that's not going to happen." You ever argued with the Lord? Here's Peter telling Jesus what he's not going to do. And Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Not going there yet either. Peter, you don't know everything. Peter goes on, and Jesus says later on, I'm still going to do this. and people are going to deny me. He says, Lord, I'll never deny you. That's another word I try not to say anymore. I'll never say that. I'll never do that. Well, I'll never preach that again. Lord, I'll never deny you. Weren't you one of his disciples? No. Are you sure you're not one of his? No. Third time. I think we saw you. And he cursed. Here's Peter knocking out of the ballpark. Here's Peter telling Jesus he's not going to the cross. Here's Peter telling Jesus, I'll never deny you. And he's denying him three times. But something happened. These same men who argued among themselves who would be the greatest in the kingdom, these same men who argued with the Lord, you see, Jesus has these people around him and they're arguing all the time. They're arguing all the time. Can you hear that? But once this seed called Jesus goes to the cross and dies and is resurrected, they didn't argue anymore about who's the greatest in the kingdom. They decided they'd become a servant in the kingdom. And the same Peter who denied him three times came to the end of his life and said, don't crucify me upright like you crucified him. I'm not worthy. Crucify me upside down. And they did. I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Their whole life changed over a word being sown in the earth. Except a grain of wheat die. See, here's the problem. Sometimes the word's in you, but it ain't dead yet. It's still as crisp as it was when it was sown. Y'all get that when you get home. You haven't watered it. You haven't meditated on it. Mary, you're going to have a son. You're going to have a child. I'm not even married. This is not going to be about marriage. It's a word. And the Bible says she meditated about that word, and that word became Jesus. The word in you has to become what it's supposed to become. And so, I've got to decide today, what am I going to be? What am I going to do with this word I get? Because it's not just hearing it, understanding it. It's going and doing something about it. See, when we go out those doors and go out in the streets and go home and go here and there, what are we going to do with this word? And so we used to sing this song. Won't you stand with me? And it's a pretty easy little chorus to sing. But it's always been one of my favorite. We sang it years ago and it. That I want you to let it become a testimony in your life. I want it to become what you experience. We got those words? Come and join the reapers, all the kingdom seekers. Listen to this. Laying down your life to find it in the end. Come and share the harvest and help to light the darkness, for the Lord is calling faithful men. I want you to not sing it this time. I just want you to listen. Come and join the reapers. All you kingdom seekers. It won't just be thrown at you, you've got to seek it. You got to seek it. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open. Laying down your life to find it in the end. Laying down what I think, what I feel, what I want to find it. See, that's what the kingdom is upside down. Okay? The kingdom of God is upside down from the kingdom of the world. You pretty much follow this principle throughout your life. The kingdom is about giving, not receiving. It's about dying and not living. But yet you live because you died, you live. The seed falls in the ground and it dies. What does it do? One time I heard a guy say, "Lord, this hurts." And the Lord spoke to him and said, "Because you ain't dead yet. You ain't dead. Why is that hurting? You ain't died to that yet. That's why it's hurting. But when you die to it, hurt leaves." See, when you die to your pain, Corey, when you just die to it, new life comes out of it. When you die to the hurt that's come at you, when you die to it, new life will come. But the seed's got to die. The truth's got to die. And when it dies, it brings forth good stuff. Good stuff it'll bring. I kept hurting. I had for a month, all I did was just about was lay on the beach. That's way different for me. And a lot of meditating, a lot of hurting. I kept hurting over Mike. And I kept saying this to myself. Can't believe Mike died. Can't believe Mike died. It's just not even real. Barbara was coming home and she hadn't been in the house but a couple of days since the funeral. And she was just really tormented, not a strong word, but hurting over going home and going into the house and going past the room Mike was in for 6 months and just Mike's not there. You know, can't believe Mike's dead. And finally, I heard this. How many know if you listen? I heard this, Billy. And I almost think it was Mike. He said, "I'm not dead." I know that. Really? See what I'm saying? I know that. I must not known that. Because I didn't know that because I was saying he was. And I heard that voice. I'm not dead. I just transitioned. And we talked about, we did a whole 2-hour funeral over him. He transitioned. One word difference changes your life. My hurt was gone when I stopped saying he's dead and started saying he transitioned. One word. One simple word. One word. See, sometimes that's all you need is one word. One word. Sometimes that word is forgive. Forgive. Forget. Move on. One word, one seed, it changed your life forevermore. One word today can transition you out of a life that's not really good to a life that's really, 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 really awesome. You're here today and you want to make a decision in your life. I'm going to be a kingdom seeker. All of you don't have to make that call. You've made that decision many times. And you're going to keep making that decision, I hope. Going to keep making it. But there's something today that's been said. I love this animal here today. I love the fact. How many know? You know, people wonder if dogs are going to be in heaven. You're in heaven now. Yeah. Yeah. He's making all things new. I'm getting way. I'm getting a year ahead of myself, but I'm boiling with it. It's kind of. You want to make the decision today. I'm going to be a kingdom seeker, laying down what I think, what I feel, and what I want for what he thinks, what he feels, and what he wants. That's the call I'm making. That's the decision I'm going to make. You want to make that decision today. I want you to step out in the aisle right where you are. Just step out now. You don't have to come down here, but just make some kind of movement. Just step out in the aisle today. I've heard something that has sparked something afresh and anew in me. And I'm going to make the call. I'm going to make the decision. I'm going to be a kingdom seeker. I had to make it at the beach on an umbrella again. And I said these words. I almost said them out loud. I think I did kind of speak it, but nobody could hear me. But Ralph, I said to the Lord, I got one more fight in me. I got one more fight. And the fight's the fight for the kingdom of God to be preached like I've never preached the kingdom in all my life. To preach it with more fervor, to preach it with more understanding, to preach it with more revealing and unveiling, to just, I want the kingdom to come alive in this place. It is so alive that when you leave, not with saying, oh, that was a good word. That was a good service. I really, really appreciate that word. That was a good word. I was really encouraged by that word. Get out there and do it. Okay? Because wherever you are, you preached a good message this morning there, dude. You got a little preach in you. You're going to preach one day. You are. You're going to preach. Got it in you. You just got to get it out. Nothing's too small. Seed's small, Billy. Isn't it small? But it's a tree in it. I'm not chasing a rabbit here. If I do, I'll get it. I was coming back from Florida and I had John Henry with me, and he slept 4 hours. I got into Columbus and the phone rang. It was Dusty. I said, hello. She said, Daddy, da da da, just small talk. And of course, I was on the car speakerphone. She didn't know it. And John Henry just woke up and she said, I want you to be real intentional about imparting some good stuff to John Henry while you got him. And John Henry's sitting right there. And I said, well, he's hearing you. So I took him to Garth Brooks that night. The best thing I could know, impart some good stuff to him. So I took, if you ever listen to Garth Brooks songs, you know the kingdom's bigger than the church. Somebody asked Garth one time, said, won't you ever sing gospel music? He said, you ever heard my songs? They're full of the gospel. The kingdom's bigger. Garth Brooks could tell you right quick, he's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a follower. His songs, all good stuff. Good night. We shall be free. We shall be free when... Oh, never mind. But here's the deal. When you put the seed in them, leave it alone. Leave it alone. All I can do is sow this. I can't make it grow in you. Matter of fact, I don't even understand how it's going to happen anyway. But see, what we do with our kids, we sow the seed in them, Ken, and then we go messing with it, thinking they're not getting it, so we're trying to get them to get it more. Just leave it alone. So when I see a little Jet, I just don't see little Jet. I stopped that maybe a year ago. I see these kids as, you don't know what they're going to do. You never know what that one word you give somebody at work is going to so impact their life that they're going to impact hundreds of people's lives. Because you gave them one word, one encouraging word. We never know when that, we don't know if Jet's going to grow up and impact a million people. There's a seed in him, a seed of the kingdom. We don't have a clue. Just stop trying to make it happen. Let it happen. You with me? Let it happen. You let it happen, Penny. By believing what you've sown is going to happen. And I don't have to keep digging it up to see how it's coming along. See, what Dusty was saying to me, Keith, was this. I know John Henry's got some good stuff in him, but just give him some more good stuff. In other words, I want to make sure this boy's got it. He's got it. Just believe he's got it. Just stop worrying about they got it. They got it. I know some of you saying, we got it, Buren. We got it. No, we ain't. We're getting it, though. And we're going to keep getting it and keep getting it and keep getting it. God, I thank you that every person here is a seed of the kingdom. And they are sowers of that seed. And they're going to sow that seed wherever they go, wherever they are, they will speak that word and it will impact people's lives and their lives will be impacting on other people's lives. And you're not just driving an ambulance to pick somebody up. You're planting a seed in their life because of who you are. You can't be around people and you can't touch people without impacting their life. You are not a nobody. You are somebody in the kingdom. You are way far above anything. From this moment on, all I want to hear you think about and say, start speaking who God says you are, not who somebody else says you are, or who you say you are, who God says you are. And you, your presence is powerful. It's powerful. You are a powerful seed of the kingdom. The lives, Jennifer, that you're going to impact, if God could tell that to you now, it would seem like a dream. You'd be like the Israelites said, we were like those who dreamed. And it's come to pass. Because we're kingdom seekers, we're kingdom sowers, we're kingdom reapers. Amen. It's not over. You got good things ahead of you. Good stuff. It's okay to have fun. I'm a fun-loving guy. I have a lot of fun. But underneath all the fun I have is a constant reminder to me of the kingdom. And if I'm laughing, if I'm joking, if I'm carrying on, whatever I'm doing, I'm reaping and sowing at the same time. Let life be about the kingdom. Everything else just falls into place. Amen? All right. I'm going to go clean out my closet and give me a whole bunch of new stuff. I'm going to be wearing some new stuff on Sunday morning. Yep. Just want to. Yep. Well, I like it when I preach it. It didn't have to happen. I just kidding.
You may be
seated. No, I'm not.
As our ushers are preparing to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, thank you for your faithfulness. Many of you give in the bucket on Sunday mornings. Many of you have already downloaded the Eagles Way app. You can get that at your Google store or at your iTunes store. You can give that way. Some go just to the website and give, however you want to do that. Because your giving is not for Eagles Way. Your giving is for you. It is your faithfulness that God wants to bless. He wants to continue to bless you. Whether it is alms, our alms is what goes to help our those that are in a time of need. We use those funds for Rushton Hope. We have that coming up next weekend where we serve a meal. We use those funds for the food pantry, the soup kitchen, helping people keep utilities turned on in their houses. So thank you for that. Your tithes and your offerings are all faithfulness to God. Do not forget, we upcoming our first Wednesday, which is November the 5th, I believe. If I got that, November 1st, thank you. Help me with my date there. November 1st, which is not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, is our campfire worship. You do not want to miss it. If you've not been to one, they are awesome. We do it up on the north side of the, I guess that'd be the north side or west, east side of the campus. Close, that side up there, by the volleyball court. We will have worship out that at that time. We'll have some hot dog meal. The kids will be doing pumpkin painting type things. S'mores will be served. That's for adults and for kids. So you don't want to miss it. It is a great, great evening of fun. Had some good conversation with Pastor this week, talking about some changes, some things that will be done differently on First Wednesdays. And we're going to use that first Wednesday in November to kind of share some of those things, some of that new vision with you. God is birthing some good stuff you don't want to miss. You need to be here each and every Sunday. You need to encourage others to be here. If you have to miss, you have to miss, but you got your app, you can watch it that week, and you'll be up to date on what's going to happen the next week. God's a good God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come and receive, but Lord, that we can give. Lord, bless us, tithes and offerings, Father, Lord, to the furtherment of your kingdom, because to that there will be no end. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand, let's worship.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the dark. Give life. are love. Bring light to the darkness. Give hope. Restores every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Oh, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say,
day.